Hello there, friends, family, and wedding photography and camera enthusiasts. I am Taylor Jackson, and we're here to talk about something controversial today. Sony versus Canon versus Nikon versus Fuji. Sorry to leave Pentax and Olympus out of this, although we were just in Japan. We're in Mexico right now, but we were just in Japan, and I had never held an Olympus camera before, and it is so small, and the IBIS is so good. And I think if real life camera stores existed and people could have went in and they could have held the cameras, I feel like Olympus would have done a lot better, strangely. I feel like we're all in this progression to at least myself and I guess TikTok generation and all the point and shoots blown up as well as the digital point and shoots are now the new thing for, I guess last year, I'm a little bit late to it, but digital point and shoots are seeing a pretty massive resurgence right now. That'll be out of scope of this talk, but if you do have a bunch of point and shoots from 2005 through to 2013, maybe dig them out, charge the batteries up and make sure they work, because you can probably sell them on eBay for more than you bought them for. Specifically some of them like Canon G7X Mark II. I found one of those the other day and it's worth way more than I bought it for, which is kind of nice, but kind of weird. Also, if you have any questions with this episode or any questions for wedding photography in general, come on over to the YouTube channel. There's a link in the show notes if you're listening just to this audio, and you can plug in your questions and I'll get back to your questions hopefully next week, although I've kind of recorded a bunch of these in and out of order. So your question will come up eventually, but it might not be next week like I just promised you. All right, let's get into it. So I almost said let's get undone. Gerald would be upset. I get a trademark infringement. I guess when it comes down to it, what I'm using as a primary camera system is Sony right now, and with a secondary system of Canon. I've sold a lot of my Canon equipment because I do this weird thing I've spoken about in the past, but over the winter, I downsize my gear massively. I don't have a whole lot of weddings coming up until end of May, June this year. We intentionally block off time to go and do travel content and do other things that we find to be fun and enjoyable. And this year, that involved me selling pretty much all of my Canon stuff, which was a little bit weird. The R6 Mark II has just come out. We're going to talk about that over this episode because it is a phenomenal product. I'll give some speculation to what I might be using next year as well. So when it comes to my main kit, Sony has obviously done a lot of things right. They've done a lot if you spend any time at all in the YouTube space, you'll know that they have really created a great community. They've connected a lot of their creators, amplifying the strengths of all of them that everyone on their own independently, pretty good. Now that a lot of us talk all the time and share information, and Sony has actually made us real life friendships by bringing us to places like Condo and to other events in New York, they've really done a great job with the community. So if you're watching YouTube and you're like, why are all these people always using Sony? That is an element of it. I'm not gonna just downplay that and pretend that there's no, it's not really paid endorsement. I guess it is, that there's subtle bribes and friendships. And because of that, you'll notice that a ton of content creators are always using Sony products. So next time there's a product release and all of the reviews all go up at once, I don't know, there is an element of bias, I would say, in camera reviews online. And I think that anyone would agree. And I don't even know if I could tell you a non-biased channel. Maybe Gerald Undone. I feel like he does the most technical and he has benchmarks, so it's harder for him to be biased. So maybe Gerald's like one of the onlys. Anyways, I've been shooting the Sony a7 IV most of last year, and I now have the Sony a7 R Mark V that I'll be using over the winter as a hybrid camera. I don't know yet. We're gonna talk about that over the next couple of months together, I guess, and figure out if it works or if it doesn't work. What I am the most excited for, and I don't know anything for, I've just seen it up on the rumors websites, is the A9, the new A9, the new generation of that. I feel like it's aimed directly at wedding photographers, and I'm excited to see what that will be in the future. I didn't go A1 because it didn't really tick all the boxes for me in terms of I shoot from the screen all of the time now, and maybe if you don't and you're still in the EVF, this doesn't matter to you, but I shoot from the screen all the time. I'm doing photo video coverage. I love to have a fully articulating screen. Makes my life a lot better. Also didn't really want to pay the price point of the A1 when I could have something like the Sony a7 IV, which did pretty much everything. Or I'm going to say did everything that I needed from a wedding photography camera last year and save that money and make the experience a little bit better for my specific case. I guess I should preface this with, this is all of my personal preference. So this isn't, I haven't gone through and done like a technical rundown of every single pro and con. This is just me actually using these cameras out in the field, specifically on wedding days. So I very much enjoyed being in the Sony ecosystem. I love the fact that there are so many third-party lenses. Specifically, I've made an episode about this already, or a few episodes, but the Tamron 35-150 f2 to f2.8, I do believe to be the best wedding lens ever made. And I understand why a lot of people are coming to the Sony side specifically for that lens. So people are leaving Canon because they want that lens and they switch their entire kit and they start shooting Sony because of it. I like that they are more open to third-party manufacturers. Sony is also a shareholder. They're a 10 or 12% owner in Tamron, which is kind of fun, I guess. They also make every sensor and everything. All the sensors in your iPhone, all Sony. Sensors in your Nikon cameras, mostly Sony. Sensors in your Fuji products, also Sony. Sensor in your Hasselblad, also Sony. Phase one, Sony. Canon. Canon makes their own sensors. That was a trick. So Sony has been amazing for me. I would say, well, like the positive is that any system that you're going to go with these days has significant positives and very few negatives. So camera stuff is so good that any direction you go, it's very much down to your specific preferences on it. So I would say over this past year, maybe because of a little bit of bias, I've gone more Sony than Canon. Canon also kind of honestly pissed me off with the fact that they were now, I guess Samyang shouldn't have made it, but they made an autofocus lens for RF mount, and Canon went after them and sued them for making that kind of against their wishes, and that they didn't get a proper lease on the mount for it. And that kind of signified a little bit of my transition out of Canon, because that is my favorite lens. The Samyang 85 1.4 RF AF is my favorite lens for the Canon side of things. And knowing that they're not going to be allowed to produce any that anymore or produce other similar products, and that there's probably, you're kind of at the mercy of Canon, unfortunately, if you are on the mount right now and you're in the RF. The fortunate side is that the R6 Mark II is probably the best wedding camera. I'm going to say it's probably the best wedding camera ever made. Maybe until we see what the new Sony A9 potentially, again, don't know anything. And I might be way off and this might not even be for the next 5 years, but it seems like from the rumors websites that hopefully something will be coming down that path. As of right now though, I would give the award of best wedding photography camera in the world to the Canon R6 right now. It ticks all the boxes. It does no crop 60p and the autofocus is incredible. It comes from the R3. Although I have heard some people saying that they don't enjoy the autofocus as much as they did on the original R6. So the R6 Mark II, in their opinion, is worse for autofocus. In my experience, it is the opposite, that it's better. For one simple reason, and for wedding photography, it's so helpful. So the R3 had this, the R6 did not have this. When you're photographing a bunch of people, or there's like five people in the frame, you can just go left and right on the joystick and go between faces. So it'll pop up a little box and it'll be like, do you want to go left and right? And you can go back and forth. Nikon does this as well. And you can just cycle quickly between people. And that, I have no idea why it wasn't on the Sony A7 IV, but it wasn't. And that is one of my favorite features of that camera. Also just the autofocus, it seems to predict, I'm speaking to the Canon R6 II and the R6. It really seems to predict exactly what I want it to do, which is amazing. So on the Sony side of things, I'm overriding and either doing a touched override, or I do a thing where I kind of just drag the subject that it's focused on that I don't want out of the frame and then focus and recompose. And if you half press and there's only one face in the frame, it's going to find that face no problem. And then I half press and I bring it back, and then it will stay focused on that face as long as I continue to half press. That's how I do it. You can also set up a tracking box. I know most wedding photographers on the Sony side of things have that tracking target, and they just put the box over whoever and it finds their face and eye. And that's a way to do it as well. When it comes to the Canon side of things, out of the box, the Canon R6 and the R6 II and the R5, all their products are pretty much ready to go. You open the box, charge the battery, put the battery in, and that's my autofocus setup. I don't do anything. It's full wide, AF, everything, and it is honestly incredible. I have a great amount of enjoyment with the Canon autofocus, and I will say that it is better, in my opinion, also for my personal preferences, it is better than my Sony cameras. But again, Sony comes with a few other perks like the Tamron 35-150. The best wedding lens goes to Sony Well, it goes to Tamron. The 50 1.2 is also an incredible lens. 35 1.4 also amazing, but they're kind of expensive. Then coming over to the Canon side of things, they get the award for best camera body. So kind of best lens goes to Tamron. Best camera body goes to Canon, in my opinion, R6 Mark II for wedding photography in this current year right now. But then one of the problems with Canon is that there aren't any third-party autofocus lenses anymore. I guess you can still find them, but they're kind of contraband. And I was always nervous updating my firmware, my R6 firmware, to be like, is this the update that's going to kill my Samyang 85 1.4? Fortunately, we've used it on the R6 Mark II, and they haven't killed it. I think out of just respect, hopefully, for the people that have bought this lens, even though they maybe shouldn't have, I'm hoping that they keep it alive for that. There was one update that made it read F0, and then they quickly put out an update for the update and fix that. But I'm hoping that that lens can stay alive. And if you were fortunate enough to get one, you know, and it's probably going to stay in your kit for a long, long time. So benefit of Sony, kind of overall, I would say best. Also best cost price point as well. Moving into Canon, you're going to get a better experience. You're going to get a better screen, unfortunately, on the R6 Mark II in the price point of a Sony a7 IV. And the autofocus is just honestly going to work better. I prefer the ergonomics of Canon as well. And then when it comes to negatives, it's honestly just the lens selection as of right now, that you can buy the 1.8s, which are pretty good. They're not incredible. Or you can buy the 1.2s that are incredible, but so expensive and so heavy. And in my personal preference, I want 1.4 lenses because they're a little bit lighter, a little less expensive usually, and they get me the look and feel that I want, and they're the nice kind of balance in the middle. And hopefully Canon at some point starts putting out some 1.4 lenses, whether they're L or they're not L. I don't really care what the label is. I just want them to be good. And also my consideration of what good is a little bit different. So as a wedding photographer, I don't mind, so I've spoken to this in the past, that the Tamron 35 to 150, it seems to have something like a 1/8, so 1/8 Pro Mist filter on it. So when you're at 35 and somebody is nice and close, they feel like they're getting a little skin softening in the lens. So I like that. And that would technically be considered a negative to a lot of people, but I enjoy it. So I don't mind having those quote unquote defects in my lens, because I'm honestly, I would put a mist filter on it, or I'll just be running portraiture on it in post-production and making it similar and taking away that sharpness and that kind of the edge that's on the lenses. Yes, very, very hopeful for F1.4 lenses coming down the pipe soon. Now let's switch to Nikon. Nikon files are always going to be the win. So Nikon files, I would say, are the best. Canon R6 Mark II camera body is probably the best. And the Tamron lens that comes for Sony is the best. When it comes to the Nikon side of things, the Z9 is incredible. My issue with it is that it's just a little bit too big. It's a full-size body. It also comes with so much stuff that I don't need. So I'm excited, and maybe this has already been announced because I am talking, I guess this is the first week of January, and we have yet to go through the CES month. So I don't know anything again, but if there is something planned, it might come out over the next month, and this might be a little bit behind. What I am looking for is a Nikon Z9, all the autofocus tech that goes into that, but in a smaller camera body and without the additional stuff that I don't need, like the really high resolution video and high frame rates. I don't care about that, but I do want the autofocus because it is a significant improvement. If you are someone that does a lot of landscape photography as kind of a secondary or travel photography, I would almost recommend, for the files alone, they're just incredible to work with. When we did the Nikon show and we traveled all around, the original Z6 is what we were using. And all of those files were my favorite files to work with. So yeah, hands down, in my opinion, the Z series Nikon files are the best. Also for skin tones, for the way that warmth comes into the images as well. That was a big problem I had with Canon, or I switched from Nikon into Canon. And during that transition, I was never happy with the way that I could make a backlit shot look, or if there was just a weird color coming in. It was always just a struggle and a challenge for me to get it to look exactly like I wanted. Whereas with Nikon, I could just bring the warmth up and it did exactly what I wanted pretty much in every case. So if you are on the Nikon side of things, I'm hopeful for that camera, the autofocus tech. It's obviously going to be coming at some point, and I hope that it comes soon. The other massive benefit of Nikon is that the f1.8 lenses, so yes, there is a 50 1.2 and it's incredible, but it's heavy, it's expensive, but the 1.8 lenses, in my opinion, are professional quality. I would be very, very happy to be shooting those at a wedding day. The 35, the 50 are my two favorites of that. The 24, also incredible. The 85, also incredible. You will be so happy with it that it will create images beyond what you could ever expect from just that combination. So that is something to consider. Also, my favorite lens of all time outside of weddings. I don't love a 24 to 70 on a wedding day. I find that I would just rather use a 50 or even a 35. But the 24 to 70 f2.8 for Nikon Z series is, in my opinion, the best zoom lens ever made. It is incredible. I love it. I love everything about it. And no other manufacturer has created something that feels the same as that. So just a huge shout out to that 24 to 70 f2.8S for the Z series. Also a massive, massive pro to the Nikon side of things. Negatives being your autofocus might not be what you want it to be if you are on a Z6 or a Z6 II. Now moving into the Fuji. John Branch, shout out, Fuji X ambassador. Every time I say X ambassador, it makes it sound like that he's no longer an ambassador, but just the letter X because it's Fuji X100V. You get it. Speaking of the X100V, outside of weddings, the X100V is a camera that's obviously blown up over the past couple of months even. It went from relatively unknown because it came out at a weird time in 2020 where it was always that series of cameras, the X100 series, was always our travel, like our go-to travel cameras. And it came out at a time that there was no travel happening. So I got it, I reviewed it, I loved it, but I found no use for it because I wasn't going out and doing travel content like we usually do. Now that we're back to traveling, it is back in my bag. I don't think I brought it here to Mexico though. That's a bit of a bummer. I brought a Canon G7 X Mark II instead. Sorry, Fuji. Fuji files, Fuji JPEGs, the simplicity. Very, very happy with it. Also, price point is incredible for Fuji and the form factor as well. Those would be the massive strengths, in my opinion. The H2S, or the Hatus that we nicknamed it, and we're hoping that it sticks, is also an incredible camera, or a T5. So basically what happens with Fuji is that they release a processor and kind of internals for a camera, and then they just kind of copy and paste it across their entire line. So you can kind of get the same stuff in different form factors. So if you want that tech in more of kind of a current day style body, you can get the H2S. Or if you want it in more of kind of a retro body with some physical dials, you can actually go to the T5 and get pretty much the same stuff. The autofocus has been dramatically improved. We did some ridiculous tests in Iceland with this camera, or I guess the internals when it first came out with the H2S, and it would subject detect impossibly far away. So one of the benefits, I think, to Fuji is that because they are an APS-C camera and they're not a full frame camera, the readout can be a little bit faster and they can process things a little bit faster on that camera than a full frame sensor could. So it's going to pick up stuff. It's going to identify stuff faster in my experience. Whether or not that is pulled perfectly into focus is, I guess, maybe watch a more in-depth autofocus video on them. But in my experience, and the camera, the H2S that we had was apparently a super powered one, and no one else had that. Like, I don't know what the configuration was, but the one we had was incredible. And other people, Gerald, for instance, got one that was not incredible. And it's a bit of a bummer. I don't know how that happened, what the deal is, but we had an incredible copy and did a lot of really great things. And overall, I was honestly so happy with that camera. And I think that if you've picked one up, or you picked up an X-T5, I think you'll be happy as well. So benefits for Fuji, similar to Nikon, I guess, in terms of most pricing, at least kind of body cost is roughly similar. And that means you can get a full proper pro kit for less money, generally speaking, than if you were to go to a full frame competitor. And the benefit of going full frame is that if you really like to utilize that really super shallow depth of field, it's a little bit easier to do across all lenses on Canon, Sony, Nikon bodies. However, with Fuji, you have to be a little bit more selective and use lenses with really, really wide apertures, because kind of effectively, I won't go into the math here because everyone will just tell me I'm wrong, but kind of the way it goes, you have a 35, or let's call it a 23 millimeter lens on Fuji. That is obviously, it's on an APS-C body, so you're timesing it by 1.5, so you're roughly at 35. And in my personal, I guess, looking at the image, you're also getting a little bit of a punch in on the f-stop as well. So you still are, you're getting the light of a, say you're shooting at let's call it f2. So say you're shooting at f2, you also kind of I don't know, in my look and feel, and when I look at the image, it doesn't really look like an F2 image in terms of the shallowness of the depth of field. It looks more like a 2.8 or an F4 image. So you kind of multiply the f-stop as well in terms of just how it looks. Again, that's not a super technical description of it, but that's kind of how I feel. So if I was on the Fuji side of things, I would be going with as many fast lenses as possible, which brings the price point up a little bit, but still keeps the physical size down, which is really, really awesome. So yeah, that's my breakdown and my thinking behind everything that I've used over the past couple of years. Everything is great right now. So that's nice for you, no matter which way you select. I would say if you are in the wedding space and you haven't yet purchased into a kit, for my personal decision, I'm kind of a split between Sony and Canon, at least looking at this year. But I am very, very, very interested to see what Nikon brings out, because if that autofocus tech goes into a smaller body and it improves, all of a sudden, I think their lens roadmaps also, they make it public, so you can kind of see what's coming down the pipe a little bit. And there are some very interesting lenses in their ecosystem. So I am very, very curious about Nikon moving forward. But as of right now, I, for my professional work, couldn't realistically own kind of a full kit of every single manufacturer. So right now I've gone Sony, I've gone Canon, and that's my life. If you have any questions, plug them into the comments on the YouTube video. YouTube video link in the show notes if you're listening to this on audio. And I'll see you next Monday for more talk about this wedding photography thing. See you then.